It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. And that is exactly the reason we do love Jesus. It's because he did first love us. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I so much need your prayers as I stand before you. I thank God for the sweet prayer that has been offered. And I know that those words cannot come except the Lord gives them. And we give him the glory and the honor and the praise for that. I also know that I won't be able to say anything of any benefit to you, nor will you be able to hear anything from me that would be of any benefit to you, unless the Lord provides what we need. We sing a hymn, "Break Thou the Bread of Life, Dear Lord, Unto Me." And we know that it's the Lord who has to provide our food. He is the bread of life. But that's something we can find a lot of peace about, of how able the one is that we trust in and lean upon. He's done all things well. And he's able to do, as the scripture says, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And so as we come this afternoon, and I feel so much in need of him, I feel so much of my own inability, it's a comforting thing to know I can just simply trust in the Lord and turn it over to him. As the hymn writer also wrote, "Oh, for grace to trust him more. I just need to lean upon him more." So you pray for me and pray for one another that the Lord would just bless us, even if it's just to stand before you for a few minutes. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. I'd like to read to you from Titus chapter 2. And we're going to read the entirety of the chapter. And been looking at the book of Titus. It's been on my mind, continues to be on my mind. It's just stirred up so many good thoughts and so much in it that I would like to bring before you that I feel like the Lord's allowed me to see, but I've learned along the way that just because I've been allowed to see it doesn't mean I'm going to be able to share it with you, especially in a way that you can clearly see it. I do know this, that if we look to the Lord, we'll have what we need for the hour and for the moment. And we should be reconciled to that, shouldn't we? That we can trust in him. Now, let's not just say we look to the Lord. Let's really pray that the Lord would be with us. Let's not just say we're going to pray, but let's pray and ask God to bless us. Pray for me. And then as I stand before you, let me not just say I'm trusting in him, but let me truly trust and lean upon him. And then when we leave, if it's of any benefit to us, let's be sure to give God all the praise and the honor and the glory for it. Every good thing about this assembly that I mentioned was such a wonderful place for me and a beneficial place for me. Everything good about it, everything beneficial to me has come because of God's grace. He's the one who's made it and kept it. He built it and he keeps it. And he's holding the ministry in his hand. And he's holding the church. He walks among the candlesticks, which is to walk among the churches. And he said, where two or three are gathered together, he's present with us. And I felt it today. I want to acknowledge that. Scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we're not boasting in that. We're simply saying, the Lord seemed fit to shower his blessings upon me and being able to feel his presence just for a little while today. And I feel a whole lot better right now than I did earlier. Now, I may not feel that way so long, but I'm enjoying it for the moment. So may the Lord just bless us. Titus chapter 2 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is on the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. Now, this is the writings of the Apostle Paul to the young preacher Titus. And Titus is one that's called of God to teach and to feed God's little lambs and sheep. And the Apostle Paul was an apostle set apart by the Lord Jesus Christ to teach and to instruct and even to write what we have here in God's Word by inspiration of God for our instruction. He says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. So God has an elect people. And there's a body of truth that God's elect people have been given that's called the faith of God's elect. And the Apostle Paul was laying that out. What is the faith of God's elect? This is the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's important for us not to stray from the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We don't come together and vote on the faith once delivered to the saints. We don't come and decide, well, does it need adjusting? Does it need amendments? Does it need to be added to? Can we take away from it? Is it still correct today when it was like it was when it was given? Does it need some additions? Do we need to revise it, correct it? We know that man's rules and man's laws and man's instruction always undergoes review. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Now, sometimes it can be a bad thing when man's laws and things undergo reviews and good laws are changed and bad laws are adopted. We know that's possible. We know that happens. As a matter of fact, we've seen historically that happen again and again. There are some things, though, that we want to maintain and hold to. But how do we know what it is we're supposed to hold to and what it is that we're not supposed to embrace? Well, we come to the faith of God's elect, which is the body of truth that has been given by inspiration of God, that's found in Holy Writ, that men were given by, as holy men were moved of God, by the Spirit of God, this Bible, though written by various writers at various times, at various points in history, all of it is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that is the child of God, may be perfect. That doesn't mean without sin. It just means we're complete with the faith once delivered unto the saints. I'll tell you what I've seen and by my experience and what I know from the scripture is that once we start departing from it in a little bit, it's not long that we're a long ways off from what it says. Once you just change a few principles, a few thoughts, a few things, and you begin to build your house upon those faulty foundations, the cracks become in our house, the problems become in our lives, and we lose the things that have been most meaningful and beneficial to us in our lives, and that is fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're not talking today about relationship. We're talking about fellowship. Relationship is that which He established when He saw fit to choose His people before the foundation of the world. He chose them as His children. They were His sheep. When Jesus came into this world, He came for His sheep. He came for His people. He didn't come to get or make people. He came because they were His people, given to Him in covenant before the very foundation of the world. This is part of the sure mercies of David, talked about over in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. It wasn't just King David. It was the Son of David. It was the Messiah. It's the mercies that come unto us, that are sure to us from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here's what's sure. If you were one that He chose before the foundation of the world, everything that He purposed to do for you will be done, and that will happen in your life. It will occur in your life, and there won't be one thing that's missing from that in what the Lord has seen fit to do in saving His people from their sin. That has to do with our relationship with God. Like, who are we? Now, the aged women and the aged men, and I'm not going to put any of you in that category. I'm not going there. I'm just going to read the text, and you apply it as you feel you should. But I'm falling in the aged men category. Okay, that's where I fall. There are some things that we're to be doing. He goes on in that first verse of the first chapter. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to, that means in agreement with, or in agreement with or directing to the faith of God's elect. And he says, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Notice this, the truth of God's salvation. And that truth is that Jesus Christ came to save those that were given to Him in a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. They were predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, and every one of them will meet that destiny that He predestinated them to. And everyone that He died for will be are washed in His blood, and they will be secure with Him in heaven, and the price has been paid. As Brother Jay said in his prayer, God can hear our prayers and will hear our prayers, because Jesus came as our mediator and He paid the sin debt we could not pay and made us accepted in the Beloved. And that's sure. That's the work that He did and finished. When God's little children begin to be taught there's something you can do to make you one of those, something you need to do, something you've got to get done, that Jesus has done everything He can, but now there are some parts of that that you need to add to. That's a faulty foundation that the Apostle Paul did not preach. What Paul taught is that those whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. You know what that means? That means every one of them will be conformed to the image of his Son. Every one of who? Everyone he foreknew. Will be predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those whom he predestinated, them he called. You know how many he'll call? Everyone he foreknew and everyone he predestinated. And how? And when he calls them, does he send the man out to preach the gospel to call them? No. He sends the Holy Spirit. He sends the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he speaks life to the dead. And those who have no ability to hear the voice of the preacher, hear the voice of the Son of God. Aren't you glad he didn't put it in the hands of the preacher? He put it in in the hands of his own Son. And his Son carried out the will of the Father. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him which has sent me, that of all that he had given me, I should lose nothing. That means he won't lose their spirit. He won't lose their soul, and he won't lose their body. And at the end of time, everyone who was there in the beginning and that choice in the beginning is going to be there at the glorification at the end. And there's nothing in that chain of salvation that's weak. Not one link is weak. You stick man in there and you got a weak link. You got a weak link. And you don't have the faith that was given to God's elect. Aren't you glad there's a faith given to God's elect that tells us better than that? Now somebody would say, well, that's a licentious doctrine. That says that it doesn't matter how you live. Did anything I read to you today say that it doesn't matter how you live? Did you read any of that in that when we read it together? Sounds like we got a whole lot to do, doesn't it? More to do than I'm doing. And I dare say more to do than you're doing. And I say we all have a whole lot to do about that. But notice this. He never tells us to look to ourselves for the strength to do it. We look to the one who gave us life to begin with to give us strength to live that life in a way to honor and glorify God. And that just changes everything. If all we come in and read this passage and tell folks this is what the Bible says do, and you need to do this in order to become a child of God, we're right back under the old law. And what does the law teach us? The law teaches us that we are sinners, and there's no peace in the law, there's no rest in the law, there's no comfort in the law. And if we just follow even this practical instruction of just keeping the law, it doesn't honor God, it doesn't give us peace, and it's not the faith of God's elect. It's something else. It's a faulty foundation. And you'll wear yourself out trying to be good enough to be accepted with God, and you'll feel worse about it than you did when you started. Been there, done that. Tried that. It didn't give me any rest. Didn't give me any peace. And it didn't give God any glory either. For the very minute I thought I've got it good enough now, I believe good enough, I trusted good enough, I'm living good enough, I'm a good enough husband, I'm a good enough dad, I'm a good enough preacher, I've done it, I've got it all worked out, I've got it all done. Listen, all of that honors me, doesn't honor God, and it's a lie. Because when I look in the mirror, here's what I see. I see a sinner, lost and undone. Paul said he longed for the day when his vile body would be made and fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say who used to be chief of sinners. He said of whom I am chief. Present tense. So if I get it right today, what I hope you'll feel is that you are among and are the chief of sinners. Somebody say, why would you tell people something like that? Because then you can tell them the truth. That though you're the chief of sinners, there was a Savior able to reach down where you were. There was a Savior able to reach down in the dunghill that you were in, to reach down into the dust of this earth and lift you up and give you the ability to be that aged man, that aged woman, that young man, that young woman, that master, that servant, whatever it is, and wherever you are in your walk of life, God's grace is working all over this world. I believe that, don't you? I don't believe it's just working among old Baptists. I believe God has a people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue. I believe they come in all colors. I believe they're all over the globe. And I believe He knows where every one of them are. And when it is His appointed time, He will not miss calling one of them from a state of death to a state of life. And every one of them, when we get home to glory, are going to be there. There's not going to be one of the family missing because some preacher didn't preach, or because some man didn't accept, or because somebody didn't do what the Bible says they ought to do. I'm telling you, Jesus kept His law to a jot and to a tittle. And that's the only righteousness that will allow you into heaven. If you think you're going to get there because of your good works, and some men have the boldness, and really I think it's an ignorance to think I'm going to have stars in my crown because of some behavior I've done in this world a little better than some other child of God. Who does that give glory to? Doesn't give it to the Lord. I'll tell you, the faith of God's elect gives it to the Lord, though, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, it won't give it to anybody else. You can't find a place for man to glory in the true doctrine of grace You can't find a place for a man to put his mark and his name and say, that's my part. There's no place for saying, that's God did that part, but this part is mine. I'm telling you today, if there's anything good in me or in you, it's because there was a Savior who was altogether holy and righteous. I know you believe this. And I'm so thankful you do. But that even isn't of you. If you're unable to believe it, it's hidden from the wise and prudent and revealed unto little babes. But doesn't it seem so plain? You know why it seems plain? Because he made it plain. You know why you can see it? Because he gave you eye to see it. You know why you can hear it? Because he loved you enough to give you an ear to hear it. You know why you can understand it? Because he touched your heart and took away that hard and stony heart and gave you a heart of flesh that allowed you to see I'm lost and caused you maybe at some point to fall down and just beg God, please forgive me, a sinner. Because if you don't save me, Lord, I'm lost. And if you've had that, somebody would say, well, that confession right there saved you. Oh, no, let me tell you. The salvation took place before you ever made the confession. But there is a salvation in confessing because there's a peace that comes when you say, Lord, it's not of me, it's of thee. It's not by my power or by my might, but it's by thy power and thy might. And Lord, you cannot fail. Thou will never fail. And so I can trust in thee. And so tonight I can lay my head on the pillow saying, if this is my last night, it's okay. Because God is taking care of me. And though I've got a whole lot of regrets. Y'all got regrets? Y'all got things you've said you wish you'd never said. Things you've done you wish you'd never done. Where I haven't acted like the aged man. I haven't acted like the Bible says that I have. And But someone would say then, is this not a licentious doctrine? No. Hear what he says. He says, this truth is after godliness. Chapter 1, verse 1. And I know I preached on this recently. That's all right. This truth is after godliness. Exactly. Exactly. In hope, I'm in hope of eternal life. Get this, which God that cannot lie. Isn't that good? He cannot lie. So you say, I don't know whether I have eternal life. I'm in hope of eternal life. That's an earnest, I have an earnest expectation of eternal life. I don't have just a wish of eternal life. I expect to be with Him, earnestly expected. Why? Because the God of heaven, who cannot lie, promised this before the world began. And that's the faith that's according to God's elect. The according to the faith of God's elect. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he lays out what lifestyles become sound doctrine. How is it God's little children ought to live? How is it we ought to behave? We ought to behave differently, oughtn't we? We ought to talk differently. We ought to respond differently than the world. We ought to think differently. And the Bible teaches us how to think, how to respond, and how to behave as God's little children. He says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. This word sober means to be vigilant, to be watchful, to be wary about how we live, to be careful about our living. Not just to live any old way, but to be looking and making sure we're walking in accord to the will of God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May my walk be in according to the Spirit, directed by the Spirit of God, and not according to the flesh. I'm not just to get up and live life like it has no purpose, it has no meaning. I need to think about everything I say in the light of, does this honor our God, or is this something that I just don't need to say? Now again, this doesn't make you His child, but it has a lot to do with your fellowship with Him and your communion with Him. He says that the aged men be sober, grave, that is honest, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, to have that love. Oh, we leave love out. Boy, we've messed up. And in patience. Brother Gary, read that one again. Impatience. Brother Terry says, amen. Impatience. Best thing I've done for the guy working on my house, Brother Terry, is leave him alone. And I wish well, I won't say any more about that. Impatience. Oh, we have so much. We have our service to God isn't just about what happens when we enter the doors of an old Baptist church and sit for two hours or whatever amount of time and then go out the door. Our service to the Lord, our duty to the Lord is to walk before men. Let your good works shine. Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your good works are not something you pat yourself on the back for. Your good works honor and glorify God. And he says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. That means it's important for us to know the truth and then to walk in the truth and in charity. And in patience. And the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Didn't say you couldn't drink any wine, it just got disposed to drink too much. Not given to much wine. And it says, and teachers of good things. Oh, isn't it wonderful? I have a life filled with my son when he grew up. And he grew up among the sisters and the brothers of the church. And there were so many that he got so many good things from as he went among them. And they would help him and correct him and help me and correct me and have been such a benefit and a blessing. And those who grew up among the Lord's church know what I'm talking about. Of those dear little sisters and those dear older brothers that meant so much to us, that were good examples unto us. They showed us what they believed by the way they lived. What a blessing that is. And that's what he's talking about. And it's giving God the glory and God the honor. It says that these aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, and that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. Oh, could our world use that a whole lot more today? To love their husbands, and to love their children, and to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What this is teaching us is that there's a lifestyle that God's little children are to live in a way to please God. And the world does not like that way. The world is teaching any other way but that. But what do we follow? Do we follow this book or do we follow some other way? I'm saying to you, the reason we see so many of the problems that we do in this world is because we've neglected some of these very things. And I'm not just talking about them out there neglecting it. I'm talking about me right here who has neglected it. And may God bless us to be more faithful, more thoughtful, more sober, more vigilant in thinking about how it is we live before our fellow man in this world. He says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, all exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. When is our speech that which cannot be condemned? It isn't when I come up with it, and it isn't when you come up with it. It's when we start talking what the Word of God teaches, and we live our lives upon that, and we build our lives upon those biblical principles. And when we're standing on that solid ground, that is the rock that Jesus said that a man that builds his house upon that rock, that house will stand. Those who listen to the words of Christ. Someone said the words of Christ are that which is written in red. Listen, yes, they are those that are written in red. But every word in this book is written as if it was written in red. It's the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to keep that and to follow that. And when we stray from it, it'll be to our own hurt and to our own detriment. He says, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is on the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. He even goes on and gets into the lives of servants and masters, some in the most difficult of situations in this world. What if we had been born, which we could have been, as a servant, where we were really owned by a master? How is it that we're supposed to operate under those conditions? Could we still have a life worth living under those conditions? Could we still have an existence that would be meaningful under those conditions? What this Bible is teaching us here is that we are to exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, and not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn. Now listen to this. Why should they do that? Why should they live that way? Why should you and I put up with some of the things we're called on in this world to have to put up with? Why do we have to do this or that? Here's what he says, that the doctrine of God, our Savior, that we can adorn, and that is to wear the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. What does that mean? That means what the Lord has done for us ought to affect our lives in every single respect. And knowing it's in God's hands. You know, our lives are in God's hands. We can turn it over and it's in God's hands. We say we turn it over, but it's already there. But in our hearts and in our minds, we're to turn it over. We're to leave it in His hands. Sometimes we just want to, are y'all like me? Sometimes I just want to fix everything. I want to get this fixed. And I want to get that fixed. I want to get this done. And I want to get that done. And the more I work at it, the bigger mess it becomes. And the more I want to straighten it out, the worse it gets. And rather than simply trusting in the Lord and leaving it in His hands and let the Lord take care of the situation. And I say, let it. He already is. But in my own thoughts that I cast all my cares upon Him, for He cares for me. I'm not saying this nearly as good as I want to say it, and I'm struggling with that. I hope you're at least getting a little bit of the point, that we're to rest and lean upon Him. And even in the most difficult of situations, we can do that and find joy in our lives, even in the most difficult trials. And we've seen that in the lives of God's children who've gone through things that you and I really can't in many ways even imagine all that they're going through. He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God, notice, didn't offer salvation. The grace of God didn't present salvation. The grace of God brought salvation. And it says to all men. Now that can't mean to all mankind, because we know not all mankind has salvation. There's a sense in which the grace of God is presented to all men. There's a sense where all men benefit from the grace of God. The sun comes up and the rain falls and the food comes out of the ground, and all of the blessings that come in this, that you have, if your heart's beating, if you got breath in your nostrils, if you have any measure of health, there's a sense in which all men receive the grace of God. But this is not talking about that. This is talking about all. He's just covered all types of men. He just covered age women, young men, young women, young men. He's masters, servants, out of every nation and kindred and tongue. What he's saying is that God's children, the grace of God has appeared unto all men. That means all types of men, and that grace that is given by God to us, that's appeared unto all men. It's the grace that brings salvation. I'm not saved by a different grace than you are, and I'm not delivered by a different grace than you are. It's the same grace that's been shown to me, if I'm a little child of God, that's been shown unto you, and it teaches us something. In other words, what I'm saying is not foreign to you. Even though it's coming from the Word of God, it's something already that's been written in the laws in your heart and on your mind, because the grace of God has already taught you. He says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. That is the grace that brings the new birth. The grace that brings you from a state of death to a state of life. That grace has appeared to all men. Every one of God's children are born again the same way. And that is, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. And he says, it teaches us. The new birth teaches you. You learn something in the new birth. What does it teach you? Denying God, ungodliness. You know, by nature, we cannot deny ungodliness. By nature, we will not deny ungodliness. By nature, denying means to refute it, to turn from it, to refuse it. But by nature, we drink it down. We live in it. We revel in it. We're by, as he said over in Ephesians 2. I'll read that real quick. He says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's all we knew until the new birth took place in our life. But when the new birth took place, then we were taught to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we were given a hunger and a thirst to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That's the work of grace in our hearts. And the Bible gives us the instruction on how to do that, how to walk in that, and how to live in a way that's pleasing unto God. And then he says in verse 13, he says, looking for that blessed hope. We're looking for that wonderful time when this old warfare is going to be over. We're going to be with the Lord. And as Brother Jay said in his prayer, we've had many mansions that he's allowed us to have here in this world where we felt the fellowship of the Lord. And we know that we've ever felt that. If you've ever felt the Lord in a communion service, or if you ever felt the Lord in a baptismal, in the ordinance of baptism, or if you've ever felt the Lord while the preaching was going on, or while the singing was going on, or while the prayer is being offered, it's because Jesus died and paid the sin debt and made you accepted enough that God could have fellowship and would have fellowship with you. And that place becomes a mansion. It becomes a place of heavenly abode. It becomes a place where you just don't want to leave, where you don't want to take the parting hand, where you don't want to have to go back out into that world anymore. You know, we have many of them here in this world, but there is one that awaits us. Oh, we won't ever have to take the parting hand. We'll be forever with the Lord. We won't have to fight these battles anymore. We won't have to worry about that old man and getting him in the way. We won't have to worry about the old adversary that shows up and tries to take us down another course. We won't have to fight the good fight of faith in that sense, because our faith will go into sight. We'll see him face to face, and we'll know him and praise him as we should and as we ought. And we're looking for that, aren't we? We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm looking for that appearing. He could come to me in death. And if he appears in death, what a glorious day it'll be. Or he could come in the air. What a day that would be if the Lord would come again. Wouldn't it be good if we're right in a meeting and we hear the voice of the trump of God and the voice of the archangel. And then the dead in Christ arise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus? The one who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Now this doesn't mean might, and maybe he will, maybe he won't. This is how he did it. How did he redeem us from all iniquity? He gave himself for us. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he purified unto himself a peculiar people. God's people are a peculiar people. That doesn't mean you're just peculiar, like strange. Although sometimes we're looked at peculiar by the world and strange by the world. They may think us strange. But as the hymn writer said, I would not with the world exchange. Though they look at us and think we're strange, I would not with the world exchange. I wouldn't want to change with them. But this peculiar means you're purchased. This means you've been bought with a price. This means you do not belong. You're not your own. You've been bought with the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that people He has made zealous of good works. That's the part of you that wants to be better. Isn't there a part of you that wants to be better? Wants to live better? Desires to be more like Christ? Where does that come from? That's the leadership of the Spirit of God in your heart. He's made you zealous of good works. And then verse 15, He says, these things speak and exhort. Sounds like it's important. And rebuke with all authority. How can we stand and do that with all authority? Because it's the Word of God. And a minister needs to be humble. He needs to be meek. He needs to look to the Lord. But he doesn't need to apologize for the Word of God and for the truth of God's Word. We need to declare it in humility, but boldly. This is the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. It's as he said, according to the faith of God's elect. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let God be true and every man a liar. May the Lord bless us to be more faithful. Understanding why the good works are given to us to do. It's for His glory, not ours. Understand, even when we do it, somebody said, well, I don't want to do that. And I don't want to act. It isn't about what I want. It's about what would God have us to do. It's about denying ourselves and doing what He would have us to do. And you know what you find when you do that? You find and hear from the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And when you hear that, you know, that's peace, really, for me. That's peace. Just to feel that in my heart. I appreciate your kind attention this afternoon. Anything of any benefit, give the Lord the praise. And God bless you all. Near to the Heart of God, 169. We'll stand and sing 169, publish the open door of the church, whether it be with this church or any sister churches represented. If there be one or more who have a desire to unite, follow your Lord in baptism, whatever your case may be, as we stand and sing together, 169, if you let your feelings be made known. Near to the Heart of God. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Oh,
Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God.
Love you, brother. Love you, brother. Give the Lord the praise, brother. In a way of announcements, this coming Saturday at 2:30, the Lord willing, this coming Saturday at 2:30, the Lord willing, we'll be having a conference meeting here, and hopefully all of the can will be with us, be praying for that meeting. Other announcements. Wednesday night meetings or Zoom meetings. Anyone interested, I'll be glad to send you invitations to those. And then on every Saturday until the union meetings start,